So I'd like to introduce Mabel and Lorena, who are sharing the same computer, so there's not too much feedback. And Mabel and Lorena are the stalwarts of UF, Universal Education France. Mabel was a founding member. She's an amazing photographer and very, very talented woman. And Lorena is a yoga teacher and a very talented woman also. And they've both just been in quite incredible places. Mabel's been in Mauritius and in La Réunion, delivering 16G. And Lorena's been in Sri Lanka delivering. I can't actually see them on, can you, Steve? Are they, Mabel and Lorena, are you there?
I can see them both clearly.
Oh, good. I can't on mine, so I don't know quite why that is, but hey. Okay, so over to Mabel and Lorena.
Okay, and we're unmuted. That's good. Okay.
So welcome and over to you.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. Really, really lovely to see you all and to be here with you all. I think we'll just dive straight into the thick of it. One thing before we do start, that just to clear up any confusion, the first time Lorena and I ran this course was last March, and we started working on it probably in September. We had the idea that we really wanted to put together something different. And we ran the course, it wasn't at a local yoga center, it was at a kind of personal development retreat center. So we kind of tapped into some of, you know, that network of people, but it wasn't necessarily yoga people.
Most of them didn't have any experience with yoga.
No. So what we did is incorporate the tools and the philosophy behind the 16Gs with some body work, some somatic work, and a lot of obviously mindfulness practice. And we put them together so that the idea of people doing yoga, and they'd go there and they'd go into a yoga course and they'd get supple and stretch and breathe and do all the rest of it and then leave that behind. But this way, all those practices were kind of about embodying the 16 guidelines and secular ethics. And we used quite a few activities from Craig Mackey's manual. So Craig's not here, but if any of you see him, do send him our big thanks, because they were really, really, it helped a lot. So we thought that we'd sort of start out by saying why we decided to do this, which was something that Virginie spoke about just a moment ago, about the need to bring a bit more body work and movement to the original 16 guidelines course, to sort of also, and bring more space to it, because it sort of seemed like the weekends are so very intense that they needed it to be a little bit more spacious, because people who are working during the week don't need to also have a little bit of time that's a weekend kind of like relaxing time, not just sort of
learning.
Yeah, putting one thing on top of the other.
So we most probably, it would be good to say that we are doing 8 guidelines during one weekend and 8 guidelines during the second weekend.
Yeah.
Like that is a bit more paced.
Yeah. One of the other reasons that was sort of a motivator was sort of recognizing the different learning styles and trying to put together a program that was maybe more kinetic based. And so have people learn in a different way like that. So we all in the West have such a tendency to keep everything sort of up here in the mental and the intellectual, that by bringing things down into movement, you really force people to get to a different place with it. And we all know that the body affects the mind affects the body. So we're sort of, you know, using that kind of way things work.
This loop.
the loop. And we also thought that by taking them, the guidelines, to a different level, to get people to embody them in a sense, we were getting them out of the book as something, you know, in theory, this is great. I've read the book. I know, you know, what patience is. But to get it so it really had a place in your body, which you take into your daily life all the time. You can't leave it behind. You can forget about the guidelines, but things you can't forget to take your body wherever you go. And we thought it would also be helpful to use things like by recognizing the feelings you have as different sensations in your body. For example, if you're feeling angry, you can locate that as a kind of tenseness, a tension in your body, or a heat, or you can find how that feels in your body, and you can maybe through some of the breathing exercises, you know, bring more space to it and change it like that, and maybe also use the feedback loops and help create different neural pathways through a body experience. And then also people would experience how being in different positions and different movements and different ways of breathing are actually going to affect their thoughts and emotions, and vice versa. And we have a few practical examples that we'll share with you about that. And the other thing that was really important, and especially from my point of view, because I'm not a yoga teacher, I'm not super fit. Lorraine knows all about that, but was about taking a different approach to yoga so that it's not so much about doing postures and breathing exercises and that kind of things, but to sort of unite it with, well, why are we doing this? And why we're doing this is to, you know, start to embody real values that are important to us as human beings to live better. And they're important to us to build communities and a peaceful planet. So it sort of seemed like a really great way to express the whole vision of the 16 G's, but with a different approach. So now Lorena will talk a little bit about how we do it, how we go about it.
So, plug in the computer. Good, done. So what we try to do is to match the guidelines with some body postures or breathing techniques that will help us get into an experience of that guideline, but through the body, completely through the body, with no intellectual input or very little intellectual input, but just going into posture and seeing how it feels, and how it feels when you move out from that posture, and how it feels when you come back to that posture, and what kind of information are you getting from that guideline. And so what we do is, for example, I will lead a yoga session in the morning, and I will choose, I can start giving the example of principles. I would choose principles, for example, and then guide a whole practice, but really based on core practices, right? Which is a bit hard and difficult to sustain. Some of the postures are quite challenging. And so I would have people laying down, and not laying down, but like this in child's pose. I don't know if you know child's pose, but you're like resting a little bit. And I would ask them to think about an experience where they had lived their own principles and according to their own principles. And then think about an experience where they had lived or where they were not according to their principles, where they had cheated themselves. So then we would get into a posture, let's say plank posture, which is just like a quite demanding core posture. And I would ask them to remember this experience where they were living, when they were living according to their principles, and see what it did to their body. And then switch to the other experience, and then switch back. And it's really amazing because they can really feel a difference in the body. And it's not me saying anything, it's just them going through it. So then, okay, we would do this yoga session and finish the session. And then I would lead a different activity. So for example, in the case of principles, we had like little pieces of papers. I divided them by couples. And we had pieces of papers. And in one, you would have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, like the numbers written down. And each person would have to, each couple would have to go like to the number 10 and remember a principle that was important to them when they were 10 years old. And then move to number 20 and share about a principle that was important to them when they were 20 years old. And then, and so on. This is from Craig's manual. And so then we would come back to the big circle, to the big group, and debrief. And debrief like, okay, so what did we learn from these experiences? And so they would start sharing. And we would also debrief from the yoga session. What did you notice in your body? What happened? Who had this kind of experience? Who didn't have this kind of experience, you know? So everyone starts sharing their results. And then with those findings, I would create a list, like the kind of lists that we make with a heart mind reflection. So we would write down principles. So principles feels like this and like this and like this and like this and like this. And we would describe the whole attitude, the guideline. Sorry, get mixed up with French. We would describe the whole guideline with what we got from the experience, or from the different experiences, from the different activities, without passing by the heart mind reflection. Sometimes we would do heart mind reflections, but not every time. But I like to do the lists every time. So I think it's really cool because it gives a completely different, it opens a different door to experience and to get some new information that we wouldn't get otherwise, right? Like, if with principles, people see that when they remember the experience where they were living according to their principles, they feel stronger. They can actually stay in the posture longer. It's just easier. This really demanding and challenging posture, it just becomes a lot easier. They're just stronger. And when they think about this experience where they cheated themselves, it's just really, really, really tough to stay in the posture. So this is the kind of yoga sessions that we try to create. So I think one of the benefits from this is that to start with, we create a different experience of the guideline through the body or through the posture or through movement, through way of breathing. Then also we try to debrief a lot and to get to really transmit that how we relate to physical discomfort during postures or during the yoga practice is going to teach us how to relate to emotional discomfort. It means, for example, if I'm doing warrior one, which is like a posture where I'm like this and my leg is bent and it's a strength posture and it's quite demanding, it's not the same thing to be here than just to be like with my shoulders up and my face super tense. You know, it's like, well, you don't really need your shoulders to do that. You know, you don't really need your face. So you can relax and you can still be in the posture. You don't have to escape the posture. You can just still be in the posture and give it what it needs, but not do more. Don't add more. And this is, I think, really good to explain how to relate to emotions in this way. You know, like there's already an unpleasant emotion there. It's okay. You can just let it come. You know, you can just live through it, but you don't have to add all this tightness and all this extra suffering, useless extra suffering to it with thoughts or with whatever that you use to nourish it. And
it also is also a way of you know, having people, when you have to sort of sit through something like that and accept it rather than trying to suppress it and move it away, it's also a little training in equanimity, which can also be a value that, you know, is important to take into, you know, when things go wrong in the day-to-day life.
And And I think it's also a different way of learning in the sense that I think doing things with the body, going through experiences with the body, is going to give some information to the cells. There's this really amazing somatic movement teacher that says one thing is to learn with the nervous system and another thing is to learn with the cells. And so I think in this kind of activities, we're learning with the cells. It means that the information is going right through the body. And then we might recognize it or we might not recognize it. We can debrief it intellectually later. But even if we don't, and I try to do it because I think it's better, then we have like the whole loop. But even if we don't, then the information is in the body and the information can start changing. And that's, I mean, that's the whole purpose. That's the whole original purpose of yoga, is that you transform yourself through the postures. And I think it's also really important to know that it's not, I mean, it's, I use yoga because yoga is what I know, but it doesn't really have to be yoga. I think it could be just, you know, it could be any other kind of movement, any other kind of, how do you embody this? So how we created these sequences is like, if you think about humility, okay, so what is the body posture of humility? And it's not so easy to think about it, but then if you go, okay, what's the body posture for arrogance, for example? And if you start looking at arrogance, it's like, oh, you know, like you're showing, like your head is lifting up and you're like a bit looking tight. Down. And, you know, and you don't feel good. It's a bit tight, you know? So it's like, okay, so what is the opposite of that? If you relax all that and you go into a little bit more, just the softer version of that and a more available version of that. So how do you do that, you know? So then I started doing like forward bends. And so the whole humility yoga session is based on forward bends, when you put your head down but your spine is straight, you know. It's not like you're putting yourself down, it's just you're just like going in there, you know, peacefully, calmly. So I think it's good to know that it's not necessarily yoga, it's just body, you know, it's just how we move in life. No, so the way we're speaking to someone when we're angry is not the same, like the body's posture is not the same when we're like super happy and welcoming, right? So I think that's really, really cool to notice, and it's a great tool to work with.